try. Yeah, so today we're going to share about just a simple topic that we'll call applying faith in life and profession. And I know that Pastor has been teaching about faith, and maybe just to ask the question, I tend to try do Bible studies in a way that we ask questions. So I want anyone to tell me what faith is to them. And let me just, I need two people, male and female preferably. Tell me, how do you define faith to you, and now that you've been learning about faith? And then the second question will be, what is the difference between faith and hope? Yeah, that one is for the pastors. So anyone, there's no correct or wrong answer. What is faith to you? And then you can also try, what is the difference between faith and hope? I can choose. You know, it's easier if no one is ready to volunteer, I will choose. I can start with Josphat. Someone called Josphat on my list. What is faith? And then next will be Sharon. Just unmute and go ahead and let me know what you think faith is. Okay, if Josphat is not ready, Sharon, you want to try? Yes, go ahead.
Maybe I can try.
Please.
I think faith is a substance of things that are hoped for, that are not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Excellent. Hebrews 11:1. Good, good, good. Gregory. Gregory, you're ready to try? Andrew? Yes, go ahead, Gregory. Yes, what is faith to you? Yeah.
Faith is having confidence,
mm-hmm,
that something will come forth.
Okay, excellent. So,
yeah.
Faith is having confidence something will come forth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, how would you distinguish between faith and hope? And also wishful thinking. Who wants to try? Chanel, give us this one. How do you distinguish between faith and hope to you? Chungaji Chanel.
For me, I would say that faith is having confidence that God is going to do that which he said he will do.
Mm-hmm.
It, God is able and to do that which he said he will do.
Okay.
For me, hope is an expectation that a particular thing will come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Nalo, I've seen your hand. Go ahead. Thank you. Those are very good answers, Chanel. I have to appreciate. Faith is confidence, what God has said. And I love the way you said, what God has said will come to pass. And hope is an expectation. So you can find people claim they have faith, but they are not hoping for anything. So it's very common to find people saying, yes, I have faith that this will happen, but it's wishful thinking. Like someone will say, oh, because faith is, I speak. So someone will say, I am a car. Will that make you a car? So those are some of the things we need to ask ourselves and questions, because one of the biggest challenges that we have is we always hear people leave the faith. Why? Because God said they will heal my mother, or God said they will do this, but then it did not happen, and then you find someone has dropped off. Mr. Analo, please tell me what's on your thoughts here.
For me, faith is that strong belief,
mm-hmm,
and of things that have not happened, but you call them as if they have.
Mm-hmm.
And hope for me is that may say a wish. For example, faith is like saying, "I am healed."
Mm-hmm.
You're not yet healed, but you're calling it out.
Okay.
And hope is, I know, hope is I will get healed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yes. Okay. Good, 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 good. No, I'm glad that we tend to have an idea of what it is, and many of us are quite right. And let me see if my slides will move. And I agree with the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But now, when you think of it, you have to actually ask yourself, what does that mean? You know, when you say a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, I love how Amplified puts it. He says that faith is the assurance, and in bracket, a title deed, confirmation of things hoped for. That means, in bracket, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. That means that their conviction of their reality. That means that faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Now, if I'm to simplify it, I will say that when you speak of faith, it must start with God. For you to say that you have faith, it is not an idea that you had. You know, someone can say, oh, I'm going to be the president. You can say it as much as you want, but it does not make it faith. Because you will never be. But for someone to say, for when God has spoken something to you, that you are going to be the president. Now, to the ordinary world, it will not look like it is. You might not look like from the right family. You might not look like from the right tribe. But you have a confidence, or you have an assurance that God has spoken. Now, when it says that, so how I define faith is a confidence, an assurance that God has spoken something. Either he has spoken or he has revealed it to you, and that you have believed it. And then, apart from that you have believed it, you continue believing it, because there are people who receive something from God, and there are those who don't believe it. They say, ah, it was just a dream. It doesn't mean anything. But then there are those who, yes, believed it. Remember the issue of the seed falling on the ground that was with thorns. They received the word with joy, but then they did not have any root that is on the rock. But then the ones that were in the thorns, the cares and worries on this world choked that word. That means that the word of God came, God spoke, they believed, yes, you left that service believing what the pastor said. It is happening. We are moving to the next level. We are increasing. This is my year of my marriage. This is my year of my breakthrough. And you say, hallelujah, and you run and you give a seed. I think that is what most Christians do in the Pentecostal circles. You go give a seed, and then you meet outside, and then you are dumped by your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And then you say, ah, this can never happen. Then you start looking at the wind. You start looking at oh, you know, it's already November. Can it really happen? Ah, I don't think it can happen. When will he pay dowry? When will we organize the wedding? When will the committee be formed? Before you know it, you stop believing. Now, you continue believing. Now, believing does not just end with believing, because there are people who just say, ah, me, I believe. James says, even the demons believe and they tremble. But he says, show me your faith and I will show you my faith by my actions. That means that when faith moves from believing to actions, and these actions demonstrate your belief, then it produces results that are evidence of your belief. Now, when this compendium is fulfilled, God speaking or God revealing something, you believing it and taking it to heart, then you taking the corresponding action to that what has been revealed to you, and then when those results are manifest, then we can say you had faith. Otherwise, we will say you are wishful thinking. You are thinking of your own. You are having nice desires. You are having good dreams. But it was not faith. Now, this is basically what I'm going to emphasize today. God speaking, you believing, taking of the actions, and manifesting it in results. And we're going to look at some classic examples. Look at Abraham. And let's read Abraham. Abraham, Romans chapter 4:16, and let's read up to 22. The Bible says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did, who, now speaking of Abraham, against all hope, or contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, what did God speak? God told Abraham. Abraham was crying to God, oh God, I don't have a child. The only person who will be my heir will be Eliezer, the slave from Damascus. His own was going to be my heir. Then God said, okay, you walk out. Look at the sky. Count the number of stars. If you can count them, as many as your descendants will be. Now, this is a word that is being spoken to a man who is, at least by that time, he must have been 75. 75 years old. He is already in his body, he is dead. In his wife is 10 years younger. The womb is already kaput. I mean, in terms of biology, we know she's already in menopause. I love that it is pause, not menoend. It's a pause. That means it can be restarted. And God proved it. It can be unpaused. Now, she was in menopause. And God is telling you that you're going to be a father of many nations. So God told Abraham, God spoke to him. So Abraham did not concoct the lie that, think of himself, I think I want to be a father of many nations. He was sure that he has no capacity to have an heir. In fact, he had already declared his slave will be his heir. But then God told him something, count. And then the Bible tells us, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, the action of God was to speak. Then Abraham believed. Then what actions did he take? Abraham stayed, he followed God, he left his father's land, he went, he stayed with his wife, he believed God, they slept together, they created the baby, and the baby came. Another time, he was asked to go and sacrifice his son. He says, God, you already spoke that through this child, Isaac, he's going to be my seed will be reckoned through him. Fine. So I believe you can resurrect him. So I'm going to sacrifice him. And he is ready to kill. And God says, now I know that you truly believe me. So Abraham, you can see the pattern. There was a speaking of God. There was the believing of Abraham. He did not waver through unbelief. And there is something that he did. The Bible says that he did not consider the deadness of his own body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. That means that there is a way that faith looked at what was unseen. He had the sight of faith that even though on the physical I am dead, but because God has spoken, he has the power to bring forth life. Now, that is an example of Abraham. A second example you can see is Moses. Now, the scriptures tell us, Hebrews 11, verse 23, if we start reading, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. That is the action. When he became of age, he refused to be called. So these are the actions he had. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And why? Because he esteemed the reproach of Christ, that means the shame of Christ, greater riches than the treasure of Israel. For he looked to the reward. He saw ahead. There is something that he saw. And then the Bible says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That means there is something that God revealed to Moses, that when he saw the burning bush, he saw God. And when he met God, he saw Christ, and he decided that Christ's riches and the shame of Christ is far much better than the riches of Egypt. And so there was something that God spoke in his heart. He realized that he is not an Egyptian. Then he believed it, and then he took actions. And the result is the scripture is referring to faith. So God speaks, you believe it, there is an action that you do, and then it results in faith. And you, I mean, if you read at Hebrews 11, you're going to see so many people that exercise this same aspect. It says, Hebrews 11, 32, and what more shall we say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms. All these people, there is something that God spoke to them. God found Gideon, and he called him mighty man of valor. The man was hiding in a cave. And God called him a mighty man of valor. The Bible says these guys, through faith, through believing in the person that spoke to them, they subdued kingdoms, they worked righteousness. And what did they do? The result is they obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions, they quenched the violence of the fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weaknesses, it was turned to strength. Their weaknesses were turned to strength. That means that when faith comes, it transforms you as a weak, ordinary person, and you start to express a confidence that someone will wonder, where did this come from? Why? Because you received an infusion of God that gives you a confidence that you are like a madman. And think of Noah. Noah, the Bible says, by him divinely warned, he started to build an ark. That time, no rain had ever come from the sky. And he was preaching for 120 years. He was telling guys, rain is coming, repent. And they're like, man, you are mad. And the reality is, I always say faith is a form of madness. Why? Because you are seeing what people are not seeing. You are hearing what people are not hearing. You are talking languages that people don't understand. You are saying things that don't make sense, but you have a substance. And that substance comes in various forms that God gives you a confirmation. My child, this is yours. You're going to receive something. Now, God speaks. You believe. You act in faith. And then you have results. What is faith? God speaks. You believe, you act, and you experience results. Now, when God speaks, you must have a confidence that his word is sure. Now, this is where people struggle with unbelief. And the Bible says the same word was spoken to people, but why did it not have an effect with them? Why? Because they did not mix it with faith. That means that you can be in a congregation, you can be in a meeting like this, and we speak the word, and we speak that God is going to shift your lives. But there is one who will receive it and mix it with faith, and it will bear fruit. But there is one who will doubt it, and it will not bear fruit. Now, God says that his ways are not our ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens and higher than the earth, and my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper for the thing which I sent it. I tell you, if God has spoken something, that you're going to be a father, I tell you, it doesn't matter what the doctors say, whether they have removed that womb or not, oh, it will still come. They can tell you it is impossible, but you see, when God has said something, it will come to pass. You know the thing, you must know who you are. And part of the foundation of knowing who you are is knowing what the word of God says. That's why the Bible says, so my word that shall go forth from my mouth. Now, the first level that which you gather faith is from the word of God. Jeremiah was called. Jeremiah, God calls him. He says, I have called you. You know, he says, before I formed you, I knew you. I created you to be I ordained you and set you apart to be a prophet unto the nations. And then Jeremiah said, I'm only a child. He said, do not say you're only a child. Then he asks him, what do you see? Then Jeremiah says, I see the branch of an unmown tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. The other version that says, I am watching to see that I perform my word. That means that you must have, it's like a check that you've been given from Bill Gates. You are sure any bank you take it, they will cash it. Why? Because they trust the word of Bill Gates. They will trust that this is the richest man. He cannot give you a fake check. It cannot bounce. Now, God is saying, when I have spoken something, the word that I give you, you can take it to the bank. You can be sure that it will not bounce. Why? Because God has exalted his name and his word above all else. Now, I'm saying the foundation of God's word must be the scriptures. Because anytime you have a word that you cannot see it in scripture, then you will definitely easily end up in error. And this is where many people go wrong. And that's why the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it is the breath of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I tell you, one of the best ways that you can be asking God, when you ask God for a word, ask him, give me a scripture for it. When God gives you a scripture, then you know it's even not at the level of your thoughts. This is a clear word from the word that you can take. That's why when Jesus faced the devil, he didn't say, oh, you know, I'm the son of God. No, he just said, it is written. Now, if you don't know what is written, then you don't have the tools that are necessary, the sword of the spirit, to fight the thoughts, the speakings of the devil. Now, all scripture is the breath of God. That means when you read scripture, you're hearing his voice. You're hearing his thoughts. You're knowing his principles. You're knowing his patterns. You're knowing what God expects of you. Now, for me, one of the best ways that God speaks to me is through scripture. I remember there was a time I was applying for a job, and I did the application, and I was sure I was going through. And then I wake up in the morning and I just hear the word, all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That evening, I found out that I was not selected. Ah, I was heartbroken. I wanted to cry, but then the word comes. But this is what I told you in the morning. All things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, the thing about God's word, it comes in a way that you are not even looking for it. In fact, God speaks to you most likely highly in the morning, unless you're running to your phone when you wake up. But when you wake up, that is the clearest time that you will hear the voice of God. And that is why Jesus knew he will wake up early in the morning, go to a solitary place to pray. They were looking for him, but he was going to speak to his father and to hear his father. And that is why anything that he did during the day, he will say, I only do what I see my father doing. I only speak what my father has spoken. Jesus walked in faith, walked in miracles, not because he was as powerful as we think, but he could know what the father has said. He knew by the spending time with God, God will reveal everything that you need to know. Everything. And now, as a Christian, you're going to be working in the office. You will need to work with the word of God. People go to witch doctors for what? They want to know, should I engage in this business? Should I not engage in this business? You are just going for an interview. You have not even prayed. You don't even have a confidence from the word of God. Others are going with charms and they are smiling, looking at you because they have a confidence. Now, faith works all directions. They go with that faith. It might be an egg. The egg is meaningless. But that egg will give them that confidence that they are getting this job. Now you don't have a word from God telling you that you are his son, that he will give you the best, that there is nothing that is limited, nothing that is hindered from you. Now, there is the written word of God. There is what God has spoken. But then there is a place where you seek his voice. There is a place for inquiry. You want to know which way, Lord, you must ask him. God speaks, yes, but also there's a place that seekers can find his voice. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you are a seeker, you will hear the voice of God. David was in a problem. He had lost everything. Then he says, shall I pursue? He inquires of the Lord. And God tells him, pursue, you shall surely overtake. You see, there's a difference between that word of God becoming your word of God. That means the logos has to shift to be your rhema. It has to shift to be your now word. There's a point where those scriptures become alive. I remember there was a time I was in an accident and I was in a foreign country, and you know, your car has just crushed someone, and you know the mob has appeared, and you just know, here, if we survive, is the hand of God. But before that, the Sunday before, I had the feeling within me, there is a problem. Pray. Now, you must know how God communicates, that you know there is a sensation within you that this is a call for danger. It means that you need to pray. And so I prayed. It reduced a bit, but it didn't go. Then I knew that thing, we can't avoid it. So the next day we were traveling. The lady was driving carelessly. She crushed a motorbike over three people who were drunk. Unfortunately, one of them died. And I am in that place where the driver already ran into the police station. The beauty of God is that it just happened in front of the police station. So she just got out of the car, entered the police station. I was left in the car seated. And I'm just looking around and I'm like, I can't leave the car, the office car. I can't do anything. And then someone just comes in and he says, I'm a policeman. He shows me his badge. He says, can you drive? I said, no. Even if you can drive, you will be like shaking. I said, no. He said, okay, let's take these guys to hospital. We took them to the hospital. Then I'm there. Then the doctor is like, oh, the parents of this boy are coming. And you know, it might be tough on you and all that. So we need to hide you. And then God just speaks to me. The story of Laban. When Laban came to meet Jacob, after Jacob ran away, God told him, neither speak, neither good word nor bad word to this person. That is a scripture that came alive. It's not related to this accident. But in that very moment, that is the word that came. And I assure you, I had the confidence within me that I'm going to meet this family. I will tell them what happened. And they will neither speak, neither good nor bad. And for sure, it happened exactly like that. We spoke. The man just said, it has happened. Can you help us to move the body? That was it. It ended. And it came from the Word. Seekers can find the Word of God. Number three that we've spoken about is believe in what God has said to be true. Abraham believed God. Now you see, you cannot just say you are believing. God knows your heart if you are really believing. You can cheat us that you have believed. But you see, there is your mouth that speaks on the outward, and there is the heart that also speaks. That is why salvation is said, you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. That means that you, your mouth has a voice, and also your heart has a voice. Now, the person that is called a double-minded man who can never receive anything from the Lord is one who says something with his mouth and his heart says the opposite. Says, but will it really happen? In that moment, you are double-minded and you have canceled out. So whatever you're expecting, God says, such a person will never expect to receive anything from the Lord. So now when you say you're believing, is your heart believing what your mouth is speaking? And if your heart is not yet believing, can you keep speaking until your heart believes also and speaks the same language? These are some of the secrets of converting faith into believing. The words into believing. Now, Hebrews 11 verse 6, we've already said, everyone that comes to God must believe that he exists. It is a must. That means the moment you are just praying, you must actually learn to picture God before you when you pray to him. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. You're just speaking in the air. If you cannot know who you are speaking to before you, then you're not in the right place. Now, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20, it says, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. Believe. The key word is believe. Jesus came to Mary by the tomb and Mary said, oh Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have been raised. Jesus said, did I not say to you that if only you would believe, only you will believe, my brothers, my sisters, only you will believe what God can do, you will see the glory of God. It looks like you are lost. It looks like you are alone. It looks like you're forsaken. It looks like there is no help for you. It doesn't look like how you will finish your school. But I tell you, if only that you will believe. I remember when I was supposed to go to campus. Some people had promised me a scholarship. You know, you have all this A degree and you're like, God, me definitely with my A, I'm going to go to school, masters. Then you go to help to, what is it, job, and they tell you, you are a foreigner, apply for parallel. Now that shifts your fees from 20,000 to 400,000. And you're like, God. Then you go to Kakuma, you apply for the scholarship, you stay there. You get the scholarship, then you're waiting to join. Then when you go now, you're ready. It's September. Was it August? August, I go to the scholarship body. I tell them, guys, I'm ready. Are you going to sponsor me? They say, where were you? We were looking for you. I said, I have always been here. I said, no, we wrote for you in last December to go and join KMTC. I'm not saying that KMTC is long. No, not KMTC, Kenya Poly. I'm not saying that it's a wrong place. But I was like, God, why then did you give me an A if I'm to end up in Kenya Poly? Then in my heart, I said, God, no, there must be. And they said, anyway, there is no money after all. And then you are there and you're wondering, how will this be? How will I go through? How will I get into this medical school? Then I go, I walk to this scholarship place there, and then I'm told, okay, go check here. I go to another place in Lovington. Was it Yaya Center? On that road. And then I go, I find a notice. All requests for scholarship should have been received by May. That time it was August. But one thing I know with God, he is never late. He is a reverser of times. That is the one thing that I have always known by God. It looks like it has gone beyond time, but he's just on time. I spoke to the lady. I said, I have come. The lady looked at me. She said, bring your papers. I gave her. She said, she looked at me, said, are these your marks? I said, yes, Mama, these are my marks. She said, okay, do this. Leave your papers with me. I will try and talk with the father and see what he says. He usually does not like sponsoring long courses, but just leave it. Now, that in itself is an action that God opens, and I'm like, we claim it. So you spend that week praying, and then you go back. She says, the father did not agree, but here is a check of 200,000. Just go and pay these fees. That is how we started. That is how we started, and that is how today we are doctors. So I can't say that I'm a doctor because I got an A. No, it's because God came through. There are many people who have rotted with their papers. But when you know that it is God who comes through, when God has spoken, what you know about God determines how you live your life. It's a mindset that you must have. I know something about God that God can never put me to shame. In fact, it says, "Those everyone who calls on his name shall be saved. No one who calls on his name shall be put to shame." I tell you, you are never going to be shamed if you believe in God. Once you learn these words, once you pick these words, there's a word in Joel, is it Joel chapter 2? He said, "I am sending you new grain and new wine, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn unto the nations." I tell you, when such words come and you receive them, and you say, my, I will never beg. I will never be in shame. I am never going to be embarrassed. I am going to prosper. I tell you, there are things for me I've settled. I was in my house by 35. We built our house by the time we were 35. We are staying in our house. God has done it. I joined the UN. I told God, I'm going to join the UN. Every time I would apply, they will never shortlist me. But I say, the day they shortlist me is their mistake. Because I don't fail interviews. I don't. You must know yourself. You don't fail written tests. You don't fail orals. But it does not mean, it's just speaking. You also prepare. I've always said, the day they will shortlist me is their mistake because I'm going through. I don't care whether they had someone in mind, whether they had prepared the position for someone else, that is their mistake. So I always tell God, if it's not for me, let them not even shortlist me because it's not my. Because if I'm coming, I'm taking it. I joined it and then people were saying, you cannot go international. You have to have worked for 10 years. See this lady, she's going after 18 years. This one went after 10 years. I told them, my story is different. I'm not like you. 1 year, 4 months, I left to Liberia. And the HR made a mistake sending to all. No, this one is leaving to Liberia. I was laughing. He said, we are sorry, that was a wrong mistake. Sent to the whole office. I say that is God advertising his children. You see, when God wants to, when he has said that, let your light so shine before men. Let them see your good works and give glory to your Father. God told David, I took you from the sheepfold. I gave you your master's goods, your master's house, his wives, all his property. I gave you kingdom over Israel and Judah. And if that was small, I would have given you more. That means that God is saying, for me, hey, it's you. It depends on how much you ask. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. It's the asking and it's your believing. It's your capacity to receive what he has spoken over your life. This is something that you build over time. Believe what he has spoken. Then you need to think like a believer. As a man thinketh, so is he. You cannot be thinking like a poor man. Or you think like, me, I'm weak. Me, I can't be anything. You are contradicting who God has said. When he says you are a son of the Most High God, he who did not spare his own son, how will he not graciously give you all things? All things. When God says all things are yours and you are of Christ and Christ is of God, the confession of your faith becomes effective when you acknowledge everything that is good that is in you, that is in Christ Jesus. There is a confession of your faith. Abraham did not waver in unbelief. He was fully convinced that the one who had spoken, the Bible says Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Why? She considered him faithful who had made the promise. She laughed, yes, but she went and sat back and asked, how did these three men who came to see my husband, who was they that spoke? Then she considered him faithful, and then she received strength to conceive seed. I tell you, it can look like it have delayed. Oh, when we were waiting for our child, God, they were like, you go and see this doctor, see the. I'm like, God has already said, there is none who shall be barren in Zion. None shall miscarry. None shall want her mate and lack. You know the word? Why worry? Relax. Enjoy. Time comes. Boop. Baby came. Kalas. What else do you want? Silence the unbelievers. Feeling glory to God that he who has promised is able to perform. And the Bible says, where is the word? The word is near you. It's not far. It is in your mouth and in your heart. This is why I was speaking of the two centers of speech, your mouth and in your heart, that if the word of faith that we preach, so faith is a word. There is a word of faith that you must constantly be speaking to yourself and speaking over your family, speaking over your situation. And whether they say the economy is hard, you say, I don't speak like that. To tema yo mate. I speak like a son of the Most High God who owns everything. Heaven and earth was given to him. And he says all authority in heaven and on earth was given to me. So it all belongs. Whatever I need, God will bring it at the right time. If I don't have it now, I don't need it. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It does not even say I shall not need. That means God is not at the level of needs. He's at the level of wants. Wants are higher than needs. And the Bible says, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. When you have believed something, there is a language that you have. It changes how you speak. The Bible says he has blessed the barren woman and made her a joyful mother of children. That means you are just seeing your babies around. You have prepared the rooms. You have prepared the baby's clothes. You have prepared the wedding gown. You look like you're mad, but go and test it. Test it. Feel how it feels. I tell you, it will shift something in your mind. Then action. If you don't act, you have not believed. If you don't act, you have not believed. I tell you, look at scripture. Everyone that acted, the woman said, if I just touch the hem of the garment, she passed through the people. The crowd was there. She passed, untouched. She said, I'm not talking to anyone this time. They have eaten my money enough. I am just going to touch the hem of his garment. But where did she get that revelation of touching? That revelation came from Malachi, where the Bible says, where the Son of Righteousness shall come with healing in his wings. That wings was the garment of the priests. And she knew that garment, if I just touch it, I connect, I am healed. The blind man, he is told, shut up. He cried the louder, son of David. He was just told, who is passing by? He was told, the son of David. Hey, son of David, have mercy on me. There is a madness that you must have, if you are to receive something from God. I tell you, you must be mad for God. That madness is what takes you far. I tell you, that right madness, that you see what no one is seeing, but you are seeing what God has said. You hear what no one is saying, but you are hearing what God has said. You are believing what no one is believing, but you are believing what God has said. When you know certain things and you act on them, I tell you, your life will change. The woman said, if I touch. The centurion said, I don't even need you to come to my house. Just speak the word. Jesus, all these guys told them, according to your faith, it shall be done for you. action results in results. Then there are those who have acted and it's still not coming. That is where you are told, persevere and endure. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Hey, you must be confident in the things of God. I tell you, when you know God, you guys, you think I was confident like this. I was a very shy boy, very tiny shy boy. But there is something that happened when I encountered Christ. Ah. He gives you a confidence that no man can shake away. He gives you a confidence that no man can shake away. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. I tell you, with the confidence that you have towards God is what will give you your reward. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You must do the will of God. Ah, my time is gone. Pastor, I will stop. Kalash.